Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Canucks Corner. Nailed it. Episode 13. Oh shit, it's episode 12.
Yes, yeah, 12.
Okay, I'll just it is. That. I'll just redo it.
Flails cutting in, shoots, scores! They've slain the dragon! Alex Burrows! 5:22 into overtime! Game 7 goes to Vancouver!
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Canucks Corner, episode 12. Nailed that one, Bartel. How'd you like it? Do you like that intro?
Take two.
Nice. You literally was.
Let's redo this.
Zach just literally threw me the bus there.
Hey. Threw me right under the bus. That was
fuck the fourth wall. Fuck the fourth wall. That's right behind it.
Editing is magic. I was gonna cut all that. No one would have known, Zach.
If only Don Cherry had his fucking second chance.
if only.
How are you boys doing? I like it. That was all right. Someone will laugh. Probably bark.
Yeah.
I'll get a text message Wednesday morning. Dude, that fucking intro.
That's
how you boys doing? What's going on? Bartel, we'll start with you as usual.
I'm fucking sorry for whoever's watching on YouTube. My room's all fucked. And I'm trying to like move my head around to give you guys the best view, but it's fucked. And then the closer I get, it's like pedo fucking stash kicks in, and you guys don't want to see that. So
yeah.
Other than that, no, it's nothing too bad. Just you know, living life. Living the dream.
Training's going well, gym's going well.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get a fight in the first week of February. So nice. I've been training and doing that shit. Just got back from training. So yeah, putting on the schedule, and then December 1st hit my camp, and yeah, hopefully it works out. So
very nice, Zach.
Yeah,
beauty, man, that's awesome. I don't know, I'm back at my parents' house. To any of you YouTube watchers, I'm not at my own place again because of this fucking flood. So yeah, it's whatever, it's tricky. I'm a little bit pissy pants all the time, but you know, it comes with the territory now.
Is it the Tiger Dam or whatever it is? The Tiger something?
Yeah, they started building that, I guess, last night. They shut everything down at 5. And so right now, nothing can get through on the freeway. It's all blocked off for this new Tiger Dam. I know the military was in there. The fire, cops, everybody was in there building it last night. So hopefully it holds up and, you know, helps with these flood levels. But yeah, in the meantime, I'm stranded on the west side of it so that I can keep working every day. And then my wife and kids are on the east side of it. So it makes for, a tricky time.
Yeah, that's no tough, doubt. Man. That's tough.
For those who don't know what the Tiger Dam is, it's basically a meter high, like orange circle that's filled with water, basically. So it's like water keeping water in. But yeah, just for anyone that doesn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, if you're not watching, Zach's in his porno suite again. Obviously, like he said, he's at his parents. So if you want to see some good fucking video of Zach, stick around for the blooper reel at the end of the video and you'll see.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
oh,
God. That's going up, boys. It has to go up.
Man, I walked into that situation. Yeah. That was not cool.
Well, luckily, you just saw Steve putting away his credit card. So he's donated to my kids' Christmas fund this year.
There you go.
That would have been so awkward just to see Zach there with his shirt off with his fucking heart neon light, Andrew eating popcorn. Steve comes in.
What the absolute dead silence too.
I thought this was
spider dripping down his face onto his chest.
Yeah,
just turns over.
Huh?
That'd be the best.
Oh shit, Steve's here.
Oh jeez.
Anyways, all right, boys. For me, I'm busy as shit lately. I'll give you a little sneak preview of this room here. Can you see? Oh yeah, fucking moving. It's a disaster, boys. That's actually everything I own in this tiny room. We've spent so much money on new shit over the last few days with Black Friday.
No doubt.
So yeah, I mean, we moved continent, right? We have nothing. So we're pretty lucky. We found a love seat and a coat and a couch on Marketplace. A nice one actually for like $200. So
Marketplace is a fucking dream for that shit though. Like,
yeah,
so much better than Craigslist. Easy to like maneuver, and there's so much, so many good deals out there. So
yeah. So anyways, I'm using my sneaky camera angles to hide the mess for the rest of the podcast. So that's enough about us and our boring lives. Welcome everybody, as I said before, Coach's Corner, Canucks Corner. Fuck, I was gonna say Canucks Corner, not Coach's Corner.
Fuck,
you almost did it again.
Jesus Christ, we're not starting again. We're not starting again, Andrew. All right, man. You've been here 45 minutes, so you can't fucking say the right word.
Canucks fucking corner. We should have never named it like that. It's about as wet coasters. Can't fucking find it. All right. So let's start off with some fantasy. I did a hard thing. I fucking dropped Tyler Seguin. Man, I held on to that guy for his name for so long.
Yeah, everybody gets caught in that with one guy every year, I feel like.
I've got happens a few. To me every year too. I'm gripping O'Reilly as well.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, but Tyler Seguin was a tough drop.
Yeah.
Hardest thing to do is like, or what the hardest thing not to do is to like not overvalue the players that are on your team, right?
Mm.
That's like a big thing, is a lot of guys think their players are a lot better because they're on their team. So they want their players to be bigger, right? So that's like a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm up against the first in the league this week. So I've got a big week ahead of me. That's why I dropped some dead weight. I had to. I still got two more moves, but.
What are you against, Nick?
I'm against Nick. So I might still looking at a Besser drop. Like the guy did. We got 1 point tonight, 4 shots, mind you. But we'll get to that in the Canucks portion of this podcast. What do you guys got going on for fantasy this week? Any big names you're looking at? Or
I put my foot in my mouth last week because I thought I was on steamroll Steve, and I guess I lost, and now I'm second.
Didn't quite work out that way.
No, I was like, it was just weird because like I had McDavid, he had Draisaitl, and they both popped off, right? But like he had so many other players that popped off as well, and just like it just caught me off guard. I had like a 50 point projection on him, and his players just stepped up to the plate. So, okay. I haven't checked today what my fantasy or my fantasy's been, but I don't even know who I'm playing this week. I don't know. Who are you playing, Zach?
I don't know any of these people. So to me, it's unless it's you two, I have no idea. What's
the name?
Team name, blah, blah, blah. That's a good question. Mackin' on these hoes.
Mackin' on these hoes.
Yeah. Ironically, I have McKinnon who still is not in the lineup. So
yeah.
What a waste of a fourth overall pick. God, this guy sucks. Anything from Nova Scotia and the Maritimes is a waste.
Yeah, I know, right? Just gold medals.
Fuck, man. Whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, multiple MVPs.
Whatever. But yeah, anyway, my team's off to a decent start. I don't know. I'm hoping I get some guys back off IR. Got some sneaky pickups this year, though. Again, Miller is like flying off the handle. He's been great. I think John Carlson is ranked 13th overall in scoring on D. So he's been huge this year, you know, Victor Hedman. Last week, I think my overall scoring total was probably 50% from my defensive core. So
that's good.
You got McKinnon and John Carlson.
Yeah. That's impressive. I think that was my first and second round picks.
I picked Carlson fifth overall last year. So
yeah, he's a beaut. Well, but I must have gotten him, I don't know, 14th overall, whatever it is after snake drafting. So it worked out pretty well.
Cool. I guess I'll just run through the top players at the moment. In first, Alex Ovechkin. Second, Leon Draisaitl. Third, Connor McDavid. Soupy in Toronto is fourth overall, actually. And Tristan Jarry. Heyo. That's my boy. Hello. Fifth. Yeah. He's the only one keeping me in this shit. He had like 3 shutouts in 4 games or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
And only allowed 1 goal in that 4th game. Lindholm is 6, Markstrom is 7, Adam Fox is 8, Connor 9, Shesterkin in 10, and then Kreider and Vasilevsky to finish 11-12. So it's your top 12 in fantasy right now with our scoring. But I'm sure our scoring is not too far off from most. So, yeah, let's jump right into league news because there's a lot to talk about. I got a lot of notes for league news. First of all, Steve, actually, I want to get your opinion. I saw something on Instagram that's interesting today, and I saw it actually after you posted it. But Evander Kane and Matt Murray went to waivers. They both cleared waivers, so that means nobody fucking wants them. But you you heard rumbling of a Evander Kane trade. What was that about?
Yeah. What I was hearing is that, so what's happening with Evander Kane is that the Sharks want to hold 50%, or will retain 50% of his contract. We have 2.8 million or something like that we have cap space. And I don't know how true these rumors are, but they were talking about Tyler Mott for Evander Kane. Yeah, so I don't know if I would even bring that. Like, how can you bring him on your team? Like, the reason why he's dropping the waivers. Like, it's just he's gone too far. Even if he gets proven innocent for his shaving, or however you want to call it. I don't know what they call it in hockey, but in football they call it shaving points.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, not with the back thing. I'm not even talking about the back thing. I'm talking about him is trying to throw games. Right. Yeah. So
I do think league found no wrongdoing in that one. But even on his domestic charges too, like, I think those are still pending. But yeah, I completely agree with you. I wouldn't want the Canucks to touch him with a 10-foot stick. Get out.
Even so, if you get cleared from it, and he's been in abuse. He's had a lot of bad followings, and someone accuses of him. In my mind, it's like the San Jose Sharks said they won't let him play. Like they don't want to play with him. And that's why he went down. Like, they will not be back on that team. So, like, I don't know how he even has a career left. Like,
right. Whether you do it or not, when you have that many things slandering your name,
I remember him with the money on the
guilty. Right. No one's. You don't hear these things coming about, like, classy players. Like,
Crosby.
Crosby. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, right? So whether he's found
even the unclassy ones, nobody's even charging Brad Marchand, the Rat, with shit like this. That guy's out there licking people. Yeah, he did. He's out there licking people, but at least he'll play hockey.
If we're going to talk about people biting people.
Yeah. We'll get there next. But Steve, actually, I want to hear more about what do you mean shaving what? Shaving points?
Shaving points. Yeah. So from my understanding is that his girlfriend or fiance or whoever it was at the time made claims of him throwing games and betting on it. So he would bet on the games and throw points. So either, throw the game, miss shots, whatever it was. I didn't know that there wasn't much detail into what they were talking about, but basically he was manipulating the game for betting purposes. And that's what his girlfriend, the point, was saying. And he got, like, it was in the off season. And basically, like, a lot of players came out and said that they don't want to play with him again, blah, 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 blah. And then they had the fake vaccine passport where you said you got, you know what I mean? And then, Zach was saying, with the allegations of the domestic abuse and being throwing money out there and then going bankrupt. And there's a lot of things, right? So there's a lot of things that add up. So he was bankrupt before, he doesn't make a lot of money. So how you make a lot of money? You throw games, right? So there's a lot of...
Fair enough.
1 + 1 = 2, right? So,
yeah, I agree with you, boys. Nah, stay away, far away from that. I never liked,
especially Mott. Especially Mott. Like,
yeah, I would say Mott. Right now, he's our only penalty killing forward. He can't get rid of that guy at all.
Exactly,
I mean,
he
can't
score
on a breakaway or an empty net, but whatever. He can lay down in front of a shot.
Last two games, he's had the puck on his stick, the game on his stick 3 times. Blew it both. So, all three. Anyways, I'm just giving him a hard time. It wasn't that bad, I guess.
No, it wasn't. And at least tonight, we still won. So not that you ever really would consider a shorthanded breakaway. Like, that's just such a fluke to, whatever. I wouldn't say he didn't cost us the game in Boston either.
No, he didn't. He could have put that away. But
absolutely.
Him missing it didn't really, because we then OEL took the 5-minute major. They scored 2 power play goals. the rest is history, which is nothing new for us at this stage. Power play goals against.
No.
Just speaking of that win, I know I'm surprised we've got this far without you saying it.
Oh yeah. Right, boys. I got bragging rights here.
Say it there, not.
I was like, oh, holy shit, he's holding off for this. But as soon as Zach brought it up, as soon as he said wait, I thought, oh, there's where Braun's going with this. Like here's a 15-minute rant. I can probably leave and come back.
Yeah, I'll send you a text when I'm done, Steve.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I'm gonna watch the TV. So, I'll be back.
Yeah. Those of you who listened to last week's episode, this guy right here said that the Canucks were going to go 1-4 or 1-3.
He's pointing to himself, by the way, just so you guys know. Yeah. Just so you know, he's pointing to himself.
We'd lose every game on the road except for in Montreal. And that's exactly what we did. So hoorah. I shouldn't be
sick boys
dragging. Yeah,
now we beat a team that just fired their GM
now. Yeah. just to take
which we're gonna roll into next, but go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, just to take a bite out of your ego there for a second, you also got it wrong. We're still on the road next week for Ottawa, you dumbass.
Yeah. Jeez. Another hard game.
You just I had to say it.
are we oh yeah, Ottawa's tomorrow night, is it? No,
Ottawa is Wednesday night in Ottawa.
The last that's game the on the end road. Of
our yep, that's the end of our road trip. Then we come back home.
And yeah, I thought you said something about that. Sorry for interrupting, but I thought you said something about that.
I'd have to re-listen.
I thought you said something about Ottawa. You said Montreal, and then I can't remember if you said Ottawa won or lost.
We didn't predict that one because we weren't going to be talking before then anyway, or we wouldn't have talked by that point. But
it was before our recording time. That's why.
Yeah,
within our work week.
Yes.
Road trip. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Our personal road trip.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, let's talk about Marc Bergevin. So bye bye. Adios. Sayonara.
That's what you do when your team starts losing games and you expect to win. Especially a team that was in the Stanley Cup. And they don't have a starting goaltender who arguably, and obviously I use that word loosely because a lot of people will deny it because of his past, but Carey Price is still one of the best goalies in the league, right? Even though he had a couple of down years, but
in the world.
Yeah, and so to lose your best player, arguably their best player and their goaltender, and fire their GM after not winning after the first third of a month or of the season, obviously you want to get shit done. We've been losing for how long and nothing's getting taken care of, right? I mean, I've heard, I don't know if you guys heard about this, this might be news to you, but I don't know if the source is 100% true, but I heard before the game that Pettersson got benched, he was out to dinner with Aquilini's. No GM, no coach.
Pettersson was.
Pettersson.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Wow. Something happened because that was last.
Yeah,
game.
And they got benched. They got benched for that whatever it was last 5 minutes or 6 minutes or whatever it was.
He played a career low 13 minutes in Boston.
Yeah, and there was like the last 5 minutes. And then he had a goal and he didn't touch the ice or whatever it was.
No, 6-on-5. He wasn't out there.
Did you see his face?
No, I didn't.
There's a picture of his face and he just looks pissed off. You know, like almost like a scalding. Like you don't know what you just did. Like you know what I mean? Like.
Good. Hopefully that's the wake up call. I know we can probably keep that for the Canucks end up it, but that is interesting for him to have discussions with the Aquilinis like by themselves. Mm-hmm. That's wild. What I thought was interesting today was I think it was Jeff Molson coming out speaking of the firing there with Marc Bergevin, but Jeff Molson, the owner of the team, came out today saying that he wasn't scared of the term rebuild. So that's going to be a whole new direction, right, for Montreal. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they kind of remind me like the last few years, Bergevin's kind of consistently been adding to it. And I don't think there's anything worse for the Montreal Canadiens than them making it to the Stanley Cup final last year, because really like that was a Cinderella run. Like it was, it was great. You know, it was fun to watch. I was fully on board the Canadiens bandwagon if they could have somehow pulled it off. But then what did they do in the offseason? You know, they re-signed Toffoli, although that was a good contract. They re-signed Suzuki to a big 8-year deal. They, you know, they try to load up a little bit here. And then, you know, that team isn't as good as it showed. And I don't think that, I just don't think that it's going anywhere. It's going to be treading middle water for the longest time. Like, they're just, there isn't enough star power on that team. Even with Price and Weber, there isn't enough star power, I don't think, to really make a push in the East, which is crazy competitive now. And they're just, I think they were just destined to kind of wade around in the middle of the pool for way too long.
Yeah. But I like what you said there, is that they're, you're right, but they're two stars. Those two guys you say are both over 30 odd, right? Like, what?
Yeah.
Price is 34. He's older than us. I think he's born in 87. Same as Crosby. Was it?
Sounds about right.
34. And then what? Weber's 36, 37, something like that. So they're aging stars. They have a good young core. And what I liked is that they did drop Caulfield back to the minors and let him try to boost it up. A lot of teams like to bring their players up, Edmonton, and just ride them until it doesn't matter if they're having slumps or not. So hopefully they take care, as if you're a Montreal fan, hopefully they take care of that young core. But they do have a good young core there. Like you said, like, this is Suzuki. You have a little bit of leadership into Foley. But I like what they have going on there.
I do too, moving forward. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what do you think about the possibility of Bergevin of Vancouver?
Ugh, no.
Ooh, I don't see that.
I don't see it.
I didn't even think of that, to be honest. I didn't even think of it until you said that. I was like, yeah. Oh shit. I think someone said it on Facebook, on our
Facebook page.
That's a very good possibility.
It's probably Lanny. I don't remember.
It's probably, yeah, it's just because he loves chirping the Canadians. And yeah. It'd be a true bad match made in heaven for him.
So, no, I don't think so either. I wouldn't like to see it. I don't know. I mean,
we'll get into it later when we talk about the Canucks, but well, I won't get into sure. it too Canucks too
I must
much.
Say, yeah, one thing that kind of sticks on this same topic, and, like, you know, we talked about, I think, peripherally last week with the Eric Lindros thing as to why the Nordiques left, but it's such a handicap to the city of Montreal that they need to have, you know, a dual speaking general manager. They need a dual speaking coach. They need dual everything. Like, it's just, you're cutting out most of the available prospects, right? Like, you're no longer just picking from the best of the people available. You're picking from the best person who also speaks French. And it's like, it's, you know, like, you know, back in the day, it was a huge plus in the original six era with Montreal. Like, they were able to get all the NHLers came from Quebec, right? So they were able to attract every single French speaking player, every single French speaking coach, everything. And that was the cream of the crop back in the day. It's just not that way anymore. And now it's a huge handicap to themselves competitively. You know, it even comes down to, you know, that's why, for example, Patrick Reddy got such a rap with the C for a long time there, because he can't speak any French. And I don't think Weber can either, but maybe they're slowly evolving. But it just, to me, that seems like such a backwards idea. I get that your fan base is bilingual, but have somebody there who's a translator. If you really want to win, go for the best person available. Don't go for the best person, asterisk, who speaks French.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
Weren't they I'm pretty sure they who was it, they were chanting their name like to fire them. It was either coach and the coach, because the coach didn't speak English or French, and it was like the whole stadium was chanting to fire there's his name, and then the next day he was gone.
That wouldn't surprise me. I can't recall that story off the top of my head, but that wouldn't surprise me.
It was, I think it was early 2010s, maybe late 2000s.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Must have been an interim or something.
It was, I'm not 100% sure. I thought it was a very short period, like a few weeks, and they just hate him. And then, you know, it kind of left. I think they're like doing shit to his house and stuff too, like throwing shit at his house and whatever it was. Don't quote me on that. I'll look that up and then bring you guys the facts next time. Next episode. Yeah. But or if you guys do remember the story, let us know in the comments. That'd be awesome.
Right.
Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm just kind of going off of hearsay.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's talk about probably the biggest news of the week, or the biggest drama of the week, and that's the Brendan Lemieux biting.
Oh yeah.
As Steve mentioned earlier, speaking of biting people, talking about Brad Marchand.
Oh, I was talking about someone else.
Oh, who are you talking about?
A little guy named Alex Burrows.
Oh.
So just before we get too quick to judge here, just remember
that's true.
You guys had all of Alex Burrow's back when he did it.
That's right.
Oh man, yeah, you, yeah. I'm going. So, I think I feel like I'm going the opposite direction.
You're like, oh shit.
Like, I'm fine with the biting. Fucking bring it on.
That's all I want to say before we get into this. Before you start putting shit down, just remember, Alex Burrow's bit someone.
Oh yeah,
it was Marchand, right?
I can't remember who he bit.
No, yeah, I think Bergeron.
Was it Bergeron? No, I'm pretty sure it's Marchand. He put his hand in his face.
Yeah,
Marchand would put his hand in his face, and that's why he bit it.
Right.
Who, probably Bergeron right, wouldn't do that. Bergeron's pretty classy.
Yeah, probably right. So anyways,
if it was, then shock me.
The Brendan Lemieux biting Brady Tkachuk.
And Brady crying like a little girl.
Bleeding.
Do you want me to read Tkachuk's this little tweet that has Tkachuk's shite in it?
Yeah, too.
Okay, so this is from Bruce Gerich. Anyway, so Tkachuk was furious and quote, "This is the one time I'm going to answer this," said Tkachuk. "It was the most gutless thing somebody could ever do. This guy, you can ask any one of his teammates. Nobody ever wants to play with him. This guy is a bad guy and a bad teammate. He focuses on himself all the time," says the guy who just held out for training camp. Just keep that in mind. The guy... Continuing on, the guy's just a joke. He shouldn't be in the league. The guy's gutless. No other team wants him. No, he's going to keep begging to be in the NHL, but no other team is going to want him. He's an absolute joke. I can't even wrap my head around it. People don't even do this. He's just a bad guy. Tkachuk didn't stop there either. It's outrageous. Kids don't even do that anymore. Yeah, babies do that. I don't know what
Which is fair.
Okay, well, we'll talk about this after. I don't even know what he was thinking. He's just a complete brickhead. He's got nothing up there. Bad player, bad guy, but what a joke he is, said Tkachuk, end quote. So that's some pretty scathing
coming from the fucking Tkachuks. Like, think
exactly
about that. Like, are you kidding me?
And
that just makes me seem he's a bitch. Like, straight up. That just makes me seem like he plays it. He's really a bigger kid that can
you
bully.
Think that?
Yeah, 100%. The way he's whining and complaining about it, he's
getting
not holding
bit. He was bleeding.
Don't, yeah, man. So I've been bit before. I've had shit like that. Do I get to go and fucking bitch the press, call him out, figure this? You know what I mean? Like, it happens, man. Sure, it's not the greatest thing in the world. You can go out. There's a better way to handle it. You know what? I would just wait to want to play him next time. That would be me. I'd fucking teeing off with him next time. You want to bite me? Let's go. Right? Brady Tkachuk wants to be that power forward, that tougher guy. You know what I mean? He comes from the Tkachuks. So Tkachuk's a tough dude. Matthew Tkachuk's a tough dude. Right? And it's
but being a
Zach alluded
hockey
to
player,
the way he whined and cried about it, like, that's what I'm getting. I'm not saying he can't be upset about it, but the way he went about going off, nobody likes him, blah blah blah, like, I'd just be like, that's a low thing to, you know what I mean? I would just
Did you hear the interview? Like, are you saying he sounded whiny, or
no, I'm just saying it sounded
what he said.
From what he said, I didn't hear the actual thing. I just read it.
I haven't.
I just, from how it sounds and just the words he used and how he's kind of pointing, directing it, like, nobody likes him, blah, 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 what piece of shit, like, scum of the earth. And yeah, don't get me wrong, it sucks when you get bit. It pisses me off. Like, trust me, I've had it happen. I've bled, and you're like, oh shit, now I have to go get tested for rabies. And fucking, it's a whole fucking thing. Like, don't get me wrong, it pisses me off. But I'm not going to sit there and whine and cry about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're pissed off. Next time you do, all right, let's go, square up, make him bleed, and get it over with. Man up. Don't sit here and hide behind it and complain. I don't know. That's my opinion.
Zach, you agree with him?
Well, you know what? To a certain extent, like, I actually agree with the sentiment a little bit, because, and you know, I hadn't seen it. I was literally watching it as Steve's giving his like breakdown of it. Have you seen it, Steve?
The interview?
No. The incident. The actual.
Yeah, I saw the incident. I saw the incident.
I didn't see it. I just saw the aftermath of like Brady holding up his hand and whatever. But you know, to me, like watching this, these guys have a history. Like they tussled when Lemieux was in New York. Like, and looking at what's happening now, like he, you know, they had gone to the ice. They were throwing punches. Brady was throwing him from the ice. Like, it's not like this was a clean little scrap. Yeah. There's no history here, right? Like. And that's what I was looking for, because I hadn't seen it really. You know, I mean, even at, it all started with Brady giving him a few low shots to the lower back, you know, going in front of the net. And I don't know, man. To me, watching it now, it doesn't really, it doesn't bother me at all. Like, it looks like it's a fit of passion. Like, he just lost his mind. They were going at it. They have a history. you know, they had their hands were flying, the refs were over him, but Brady was still throwing him from the ice on his back. And I don't know, he lost it. Like, as Biz says, you know, the wires crossed a bit and he just bit him. Like, I, again, like, it was kind of like how we had talked about with Burrows, when you're getting that glove in your face all the time and you've got, like, we've all smelt hockey gloves. It smells like shit, right? So you've got some guy's hands all over your face, like whatever, face rubbing you, you bite it. I don't know. It doesn't seem that bad because it was part of a heated thing.
I'm going to kind of agree with that. You've convinced me, Zach, because I didn't come in with that mentality, but I'm also gonna say I fucking love the rant too, because I think he deserved the rant.
Here, can I say what I'm gonna say, and then you can rethink what you're about to say? Vander Holyfield bitched less when he lost his fucking ear. All right, so I never, like, he guys, I, you're bit off by Mike Tyson in a boxing match. And he bitched less than Brady Tkachuk did there. And that's what pisses me off. He's a whiny little bitch. He's the only reason he fucking thinks he's tough, because he's a little bit bigger than someone that's fucking smaller than him. And anyone that wants to, like, he does that cheap shit. Like you said, he throws the fucking,
I don't think he's trying to be stuff. Tough in that interview.
No, he's not. He's being a whiny bitch. That's what I'm saying. Act like a man. Holyfield didn't bitch as much, and he lost his fucking ear. Like, but Trump, oh, I'm bleeding. I got a little bit of blood. Like, oh, he's the worst fucking human in the world. Holyfield and fucking Tyson are, like, holding hands now. They're buddy. Like fucking grow up. Be a man. Stop bitching about shit.
Wow, so as Zach said, there's obviously bad blood. You know,
yeah, there's bad blood between Holyfield after too, but you man
apparently
up.
Apparently not. You men. Just said they're holding hands.
They weren't right after, but they grew out of it. You know what I mean? After the fight career was done, they fucking put their shit aside and they, man, like, obviously it was a man. It. Like, Brady Tkachuk won't. He'll sit there and fucking whine about it for the rest of his life, and he'll fucking bring this up 10 years fucking later. I just don't like that whininess. Wow. I can't say that, but that's my opinion, right? So, yeah. And that's what I'm just trying to paint a picture. I'm not saying this, but that's the type of person that just sounds that would do that.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know. To me, I loved it. I love when players call out other players in a media scrum.
That,
I love it.
That's like me. That's my thing. To me, it's not the content or what I think of Brady. It's the fact that it adds to this layer, right? Like, now, I mean, they're only going to play twice this year, but now the next time LA and Ottawa play, which would normally be a sleeper, everybody's going to tune in, right? Because, like, you see this going on. This is a story.
That's right. It's true.
It's a story. And that's what I like about it too. Like, and I think that's what Andrew's getting at. Cause I don't, you know, I'm not a big fan of Brady Tkachuk. Well, actually, I'm a big fan of his playing style. Actually, I like those rats, but yeah, that's why I don't feel bad for him either. Right. He's a definitive rat. Him and his brother both are. His dad was, you know, Garland's a rat. Burrows was a rat. Marchand's a rat. Like, you love to have a rat on your team. Lemieux's a rat. You know, his dad was a rat. Like, all of these guys are guys you would love to have on your team. You love to hate them. And I love it. When, yeah. Yeah. And you know, Ritu was one of the fan favorites. It's same with Maxime Lapierre, for example,
yeah,
from the 2011 run, probably my favorite Canuck on that run. It's just, but yeah, I love the fact, I don't think any better of Brady Tkachuk because of it. I just love this storyline.
I'm with you 100%. And I also love your opinion, Steve, because, like we said, what, last episode or a couple episodes ago, we're fucking Vancouver media now, man. Without comments like this, we'd have nothing to talk about, boys. So, so keep it coming.
Yeah.
I agree with you, but to just add to that comment is that there's different, there are different rats, but there's different types of rats.
For sure.
Right? And there's the, like you said, the Garlands, but then you got the Machants that are just, like, known as, and you have, like, the Lemieux that are kind of known. Now, like, Tkachuk is going to be known as one of those, like, you know, fucking, like, the biggest thing is when you're one of them and then you bitch about them doing something. Because I could see Tkachuk sucker punching someone, like, you know what I mean, or doing something, and then you're come out and just completely whine. But that's where I don't like it, because I could see Tkachuk doing something, not maybe not biting, but cheap shot someone, slew footing, doing something like that, and then be like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, that's just my key takes on that. But
I agree.
Cool.
Anyways.
No, that was great. Love the fucking fire. Love the fire, boys. Oh, Brady's fire too. just kidding. We'll move on. So
I'll box him on YouTube. So
yeah. There you go. All right, let's talk about some rather scary news here, boys. Alexander Ovechkin is off to his best scoring start of his career at the age of 36. This guy's on fucking fire.
Get this guy tested. Stat. Run his blood through whatever test machine you have to, especially before the Olympics. I don't give a shit what he's doing during the regular season. Do not let this guy into the Olympics playing like this.
Wow. Like, it's unbelievable. Every time I look at it, I can't believe it. And you know what I love? That fucking laxy daisy standing at the top of the circle. My whole hockey career, it got drilled into my head. You fucking stick on the ice, hockey stance. I had a guy that made me sit against the boards in a hockey stance. If I fell over, I was doing 20 push-ups. He went off the ice to get coffee while I stood there in a hockey stance. It was drilled into my head. Do not leave that hockey stance. And I see number 8 standing at the top of the circle like a fucking bum lost. Just like arms down. It almost looks like he's gazing into the stands, like just doing nothing. And then he, boom, hammers one home every time. It's crazy.
And yes, he sets up in the same spot every game. It doesn't matter. That shot is a rocket. He's got the release perfect. Like, it's wild. It's amazing to watch. And the thing to keep in mind with all this is Nicholas Backstrom has been injured all year so far. This guy's not even playing with the guy who probably dished him for 60% of his goals.
To say that, though, Knetsov has stepped up huge.
That is true.
It's like he filled that role amazingly, and he can do either or, right? Like, I mean, Ovechkin, the game before he got the hat trick, he had 3 assists, right? So he got 3 assists and boom, a hat trick right after. So, and then Knetsov had 2 goals and assists or whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. So, yes, using Backstrom, but I mean, I don't think he's lost. Obviously he hasn't. This is his highest scoring. So maybe could that be it? Maybe it's Knetsov that's helping him score. Maybe it's a short season from last year. You know what I mean? Like, you try to figure out, there has to be something that, like, maybe steroids. I mean,
that's what I'm leaning to. That's why all I care about is getting him tested before the Olympics.
HGH or something, God knows. But
hey, he's OAR. It's not even Russia. So yeah, get that guy tested before the Olympics. Let him do his thing in the regular season, though.
I was seeing his kid out there taking slappers and going in, so he can barely skating, and the guy's putting clap bombs in. So
yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see another Ovechkin in the league in 18 years or 16 years. Whatever.
There's no way he's not going to be in the NHL.
No,
somebody's going to take a chance. Like, you know what I mean? Like, one person will take a chance.
There's no Gretzky's in the league, so.
Yeah, his brother. Gretzky's brother played.
Well, yeah, but not for very. I mean,
they have the record. They have the record for the most points combined as a duel.
Yeah,
Gretzky has all of them. He has two.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't know if Gretzky has sons, but we all know about Paulina. So let's settle down. That's why we don't see Gretzky in the NHL. What are you talking about?
Zach's shirt's coming back off.
This is a clean podcast. This is a clean podcast.
This is a clean
podcast. You got your nipples out. We start talking about Paulina Gretzky.
Yep. Neon fucking purple hearts.
Yeah. Yep. It is what it is, boys.
Yeah, she's dating what's his name? Like the
golfer.
Or married. She's married to him or something, right?
Yeah.
They have kids. I'm pretty sure they have a son.
Do they?
Pretty sure.
He'll be an athlete. 100%.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Better not be a fucking golfer.
Wait. I love.
Well, he's not aggressive.
Gretzky's
so.
Kid, man. I hope. It's nothing against golf. It's Gretzky's kid. Bloodline. Sorry, not kid. Kid's kid. Bloodline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you're Dustin Johnson, do you take her last name?
Well, he's a professional athlete. No, yeah. You know what? No.
Well, I know you say that. But if you have the opportunity to be called Gretzky.
As you were saying it, I was trying to think, I'm like, how many women would I have taken their last name for? And I could probably count on one hand. So no.
Look, I'll tell you this, Steve. The only reason people in Ireland knew who Gretzky was because she's married to Dustin Johnson. So they don't give a shit about hockey. They watch nothing but golf.
I don't give a shit about people in Ireland. sorry, Julie. That's a joke.
She'll probably listen to this. Watch out.
Oh, fuck. Uh-oh. No, uh-oh. No, she won't. Please, God, no.
She just listens with me. She laughs. She likes it. She laughs at you, Steve. She thinks you're a funny guy, huh?
No, she laughs at me.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
All right. So we're going to move on to our last little segment of league news since it's been a lot. It's going to be a quick one. Now, Zach, this was inspired very last minute by a comment you made in our chat group. I ask you what made you make that comment?
Sammy Niku has the worst fucking hair imaginable. Have you seen him skate around on the ice?
Where did you see him? Was he on?
He plays for Montreal. So I was like, while watching the game, I'm like, Jesus.
I thought he was in Winnipeg.
He was before. I don't know. He's on. He's definitely on on Montreal now because I saw him. I could not miss him. I'm like, Jesus, look at that hair. Like, it's horrendous. I mean, the only other player who I can think of in my time, as NHL fandom, who has hair close to that was Brent Sopel. Like, just, even Sopel's was only half as long as Niku's. Yeah, it's just greasy. It's wet. It's gross.
So sorry, Steve.
Mike Ricci. Yes.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Before we go on talking about this, boys, I want to keep talking about it because it's a good topic. If you're listening and you want to see this, hit on the YouTube channel. I'm going to post up pictures of all these fucking hairdos as we talk about them. So we've got what was his name, Zach?
Sammy Niku.
Sammy Niku. Yeah. Brent Sopel. That's a good one. Yeah. Ricci. That's a good one. Who else? Do you know who else had fucking, who's got hair now? He had a kind of greasy hair, but now it's really bad. It's Chris Tanev.
Oh yeah. Tanev's brutal too. Tanev's brutal. That's a super cuts, like $8 haircut. And it gets gross. And like, you're an NHLer, for God's sakes, do something better with your hair. Get plugs. I don't know, anything, or shave it off. Like, it was horrible.
What about go ahead.
I have something to say on that. I think the Tanevs are trolls. Because if you look at Brandon Tanev's pictures,
you're right.
Like, you know what I mean? He's always just like, half confused. And just like, I think they go super greasy just because they know that pisses people off. And they just act like, I don't know, that's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just think they're like the trolls of the league.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Nobody suspects them.
What about Duncan Keith? Do you remember when he grew his hair long? Did you guys see that? That was
like it was like the goldeny like curl. It wasn't.
It's straight, long, and greasy, just like Sopel and Tanev. Zibanejad.
Zibanejad's
got fucking awful hair. But best hair in the league. Look at this. I've got this article up for hockey hair. Best and worst in the league. And it just it has the Tanev boys together. I was gonna say, so the best hockey hair, and I knew this before too.
Kaner's
got good hockey hair, yeah. So Adrian Kempe from the Kings, he's got good hockey hair. Obviously, mm-hmm. Besser.
Oh, Besser is.
Besser's got some sick hair.
Yeah, but the one I'm thinking, now I'm gonna put up a few pictures of this guy because it's just fucking epic. You can Zach or Steve, Steve, you're on your phone, but Zach, check out John Merrill. Merrill.
I know John Merrill.
Man, this guy has some fucking epic hockey hair. That's like some of the best.
Yeah, it's pretty dirty. It's pretty great though. I like that.
Yeah, it's a sweet. It's a nice mullet.
It's a throwback. Throwback.
It's definitely a throw. It's like Jager had that kind of hair, didn't he? He had that haircut.
Yeah, with the perm and stuff. Yeah, Jager had the permed mullet.
Jager's hair was fucking. There's nothing. I just remember him in the Penguins jersey, skating on. Yeah.
No,
it was like,
yeah.
Every All-Star game, him and Lemieux.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, Zach, I'll put that picture up of Tanev when.
Oh, good. Yeah, I had to find. I knew that picture existed. I was like, so what is that picture called again? I had to find it for you. So.
Nice.
Oh, I figured that would work well for the hair. So
question for you guys: best mustache of all time.
McDonald and Babich hop right to the top of my mind.
Babich was it, but. I think here's an underrated one that people don't really talk about. George Parros.
Mm. Oh, Parros was great. Yeah.
Remember when he shaved it for November?
It didn't look like the same person.
No, but he, instead of him growing on mustache, he shaved it for it, right? So, because it just grew in perfect, like thick, black, nothing wrong. I don't know, man. Like that guy, what's that guy? He was on Friends. He had the mustache. He had the comb.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Selleck. It's like Tom Selleck's. Yeah.
Nice.
mustache there. But
I'm so jealous. I wish I could grow a mustache like that.
You just gotta shave your little beard off, bud.
No, dude, you have no idea. Once next time we get together, boys, just remind me. I'll bring my fucking passport. So when I was in Nepal, I grew this out. This is the best it gets, guys. Okay, so I grew this out. We hiked the Himalayas. Took us like 16 days, no shaving, right? That was it. So we got back down and we got barbers to do it straight razor. And everyone in Nepal has like a mustache. So they shaved everything except for the mustache. Long story short, my passport rips in Nepal. I need to get a new photo taken. I've got this fucking greasy mustache. It's in my passport for the next 10 years. It's awful, boys. It's awful.
That's awesome. I want to see this.
Yeah, I have a tough time getting through border security. When I arrived in Ireland, the guy's like, you shaved your mustache. And I was like, yeah, probably a good idea. He's like, kind of just nodded at me.
And the first time I went to get my firearms license, it happened to be in November. So I was growing a Movember mustache and it was horrific. Like it was when I was younger, right? It's so bad. And so for the last 5 years until I just renewed it this year. But for the last 5 years, it was just this picture with like this gross, wispy little mustache. It was the most disgusting government ID I've ever had. And I don't know how they let that picture, that guy own firearms, but good Lord, it was horrible.
So I was just going to say,
it was horrible.
Bad place to take that photo.
Yeah, exactly. The worst.
Yeah. As long as you're mentally fit, that's all that matters.
That's what matters.
What you look like. Yeah.
That's what matters.
All right. Let's move on to our boys. Hey, we got a win. Let's go. I don't know what that was, but my maracas.
Cha-cha-cha. Whatever. Now you're going to have to do that after every win now.
I think I know what's wrong. So three more times.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit. How many times you play Montreal again?
Oh. Yeah, it's true. I mean, mind you, it wasn't a tough opponent, but I mean, hey, look, we outshot them. Do you have it in front of you, Zach? I don't.
Usually, set up.
No, it's okay.
I'm pulling it up. Yeah, we outshot them 42-34.
Nice.
Pretty good. Demko again. I mean, we don't have to talk about it. Well, we can. Let's roll right into that. Save sure. That pad stacker in the third to keep it at a one goal game was incredible.
It's the second time he's done that in how many games?
Yeah, you know what? I think back to the Scorpion heel save from a few weeks ago now, but
right.
he's just had a few of these saves this year that have been incredible, and it's always at the right time, right? Like he's been able to come up with the big one when the team really needs it. And I mean, again, going through this losing streak, like you can't hang that on Demko or on Halak for that matter. Like despite the fact that Halak is, I think, 0-4 this year, he's got no run support from the offense. So it's but yeah, that save in particular was incredible.
Yeah, you keep comparing him to Dominic Hasek. So
those saves like that, yep.
Yeah. What'd you think of the nickname? Are we patenting that or
I like it, but we gotta throw some respect on his name, right? Nobody can be the Dominator just that quick.
Have you seen that Birdman interview? Respect. Throw some respect on my name. Respect. Uh-oh, Zach froze.
Yeah, okay, that was Zach that froze, right?
Yeah.
Oh
thank God. It was just me. I was like, oh shit.
Oh yeah, I lost you guys. It says your internet connection is unstable. Well, I'm not at home, guys, so I'm sorry. But yeah, I don't know. It's the same reason why I can't wear number 39 as a beer league bum goalie, because I gotta respect Hasek too much. I wear 29 for that matter.
All right, well, just so you
he's a furry fan.
You the fans, just so you know, my idea was call him the Dominator instead of the Dominator, but we'll throw some respect on it and we'll wait.
Well, we gotta wait.
We'll give him a little while, but I like it, the Dominator. Maybe one day.
Oh yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. So anyways, road trip didn't go great. We're in good moods because we're riding a high right now. It was a great game they had. When I text you boys, it was shots for like 12-1 or something. And
they were
the first period or something. Like
that. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although hold on, we do have a chance to pull a little few more points out of the fire with Ottawa, but I agree with you in general. This was a horrible road trip.
So here's a question. And this is something that I think some people were talking about either on our comments or I was reading about, is that basically if we lose this, if we lost against Montreal, it was somebody's head had to go.
Absolutely.
So is that is this a blessing in disguise, or is this something that's just going to prolong the inevitable? Like, how good was that win for us in hindsight? You know what I mean?
I don't think it changed much. I don't think it changes much. I think the road record is still 1-3, you know, depending on what happens in Ottawa tomorrow or Wednesday. It's still not a great road record. You're still under 500. There's no coming back from that. So
yeah, but I mean, if you go through that whole road and don't win, it's a lot worse. And if we pull out two wins now, how much time does that buy him? I guess
I do understand where you're coming from, Steve. And I, yeah, you know, I hadn't actually thought about that because, you know, I'm just stoked to finally see a win in whatever for the first time in 5 or 6 games. But I do see where you're coming from, and I, you know what. I would hope that it doesn't really impact things, but in reality, it could, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, you're right. The staring down the barrel of an 0-5 trip, it doesn't look as bad if it's, you know, if it is 2-3. I think if they lose to Ottawa, then it's still whatever's going to happen is going to happen right away. But yeah, I don't know. It's tough to think about right now, but it's annoying too, because watching the Canucks, like, so many times you just feel like it's one or two bounces away. Like, even against Boston the other night, like, you know, shots are going through Allmark, they're going off the post, against Fleury a few games ago, you know, post to post. Like, it's frustrating to watch. And maybe it's just, you know, the Canucks curse of still holding out hope, even when they're down in the dumps like this. But I don't know. It's
affecting them.
Something's got to change. I agree with that. But
like Petey's not playing the same. You can easily tell there's you know, there's Petey problems with the team. Yeah,
he did.
He looked really good. He looked like the Petey of old. He played really well. He was all over the ice. He scored obviously the Rocket goal, but not just that. He drew penalties. He looked much more confident.
So the last time he played that good was probably that Dallas game.
Probably, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, right? it's you play good, but it's not consistent. It's not 7.5 or whatever, $7.7 million.
No, so...
consistent, right? So there's something going... Basically, what I'm getting at is that there's something going on. There's frustration on the team. You can see it in Petey's face with when he got benched, right? Mm-hmm. There's with JT Miller in the practice and the 2-on-0s and him yelling at Green saying he doesn't know who's going on. There's something there, right? Petey going to have dinner with Aquilini's, if that is true, that's not something to be about, right? That's a big thing. So
right, so he was benched last game. When did you think he went, or when did you hear he went for dinner with the Aquilini's? Because like
it was before the bench that game, he got benched
in Boston
at some point before, not necessarily right before the game. The dinner happened before that game happened.
Right. So the Aquilini's I don't even know. Do they go on the road?
I don't know. Maybe it was before he went on the road. Maybe it was before that time. That's how I got the story.
Anyways, my point here is kind of like he got benched. He played a career low 13 minutes in a game. You know, Canucks 6-on-5. Last 5 minutes, he didn't touch the ice. Or I think that's what you said, right, Steve?
Yeah, it was 5 or 6 minutes, I think, that he wasn't on when they needed a goal.
Right. So he obviously got the message somewhere, because, I mean, he showed today that he understood. Hopefully, that's what he needed to get going. Like, I'm hoping that the trend continues, right? I don't want to assume that it's just a one-off. Now, it's easy to, because I know we got hyped up about that Dallas game, like you said, right? But
I'm looking at the stats here right now too, and just kind of going back to, you know, like, because again, these last few games, like, we've been putting up over 40 shots a night. Like, it's not like they're not, you know, funneling pucks at the net, but right now our shooting percentage is 6.8%. That's good for 31st in the league. Now, I don't have the full listing of that. I don't know who is worse, but, you know, you got to think it's probably Arizona. It's probably Arizona, yeah, or Seattle, right? For somebody who's offensively anemic. But, you know, and then looking at this again, our goals were 29th in goals for at 2.27 per game, 31st in shooting percentage, like I had said, dead last in penalty kill. Like, I mean, these are a few glaring stats, but the shooting percentage one sticks out to me, because like, again, it seems like posts, like, I'm, and this isn't just about Petey, like, Petey has missed the net a good number of times. They were doing a stat slide on it today during the game, but for the team in general, like, it's just not working. They aren't getting those bounces right now, and that's not an excuse as to how they've been playing or, you know, the record that they've got, but that is an important stat that to kind of think about, is just that they have an abnormally low shooting percentage, and they've been funneling pucks to the net. Like, they just have a few more bounces, and all these one goal losses, you know, they all of a sudden, we're not looking so bad. We've won four or five of those one goal games, and, you know, we're back up to 500, but it's tough. It's still, that's not making an excuse for the team, but.
So I agree. Go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
I agree with you a lot with what you're saying with the scoring chances, but I think you kind of answered your own question. Like, what you answered yourself there is that you're funneling pucks to the net, and we're getting a lot of shots, but we're not getting scoring chances, right? That's just fun. Shooting on net doesn't mean anything, right? That shots can be a misleading stat in that sense. If we're not getting open opportunities, or, you know, imagine the times, like you say, we're having 42 shots, but Petey's missed the net three times. So there's another three shots that could have been on net. You know what I mean? Like, so we're getting, and that's when I think the frustration starts coming in, is that, you know, they're getting told put more shots on that, and that's what they're doing, but they're not generating the scoring chances.
Totally. Yep.
That's a really good point, Steve. And well said. I totally agree. I want to break into a little bit of drama, because I know there's a lot of rumors going around. Zach, you kind of touched on it earlier, that Bo Horvat was giving everyone high fives in the lineup.
Oh yeah.
And when JT Miller came up, he put his hand down for a fist bump or a handshake. I don't know. He was smiling. Now, that's another thing I noticed too. I went back and I actually watched it a couple times, because it just made me all warm and fuzzy inside when Petey scored a goal on the PP, and they all went in for the huddle, like the group hug or whatever. And you could see Bo just grinning. He had this like proud father look on his face, and he was saying something to Petey. And I really enjoyed seeing that. Mm-hmm. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because we know there's a lot of rumors going around about the locker room, and I have two insiders that I listen to weekly on podcasts.
Your insiders are everyone else's insiders.
Yeah, and they have insiders who tell me that there's nothing that I'm telling you there's nothing going on in that dressing room, and that guys are actually kind of pissed off, and agents are pissed off that you know, their players are being dragged through the mud. That's, you know, one guy mentioned that these are things that make players not want to come to a market like this, when, you know, when rumors like that are so easily brought up. And and that's kind of fair. It's not really fair to the players. Now, obviously, we mentioned this in a podcast, either last one or the one before, that we're kind of grasping. Like, I was in search of something. I'm kind of grabbing in the dark. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this team? You know, what is it? And that's why we talked about the Bo Horvat trades and the JT Miller trades. And, like, are these the problems? But apparently not. Apparently not. Go ahead. What were you gonna say? You have a question?
So it was more of a statement. I'm like, the thing is, if we're not going to talk, this shit isn't going to come up if you fucking win games. If you go out and do your job, we're not going to sit here and do it. We're just sick of losing. It's 8 fucking years. You know what I mean? You're coming to a market that's a losing team that, you know, we came off of a big run and we haven't done shit since. Right. And it's frustrating to watch. We've been through this half-ass rebuild, and we're finally at a point where we want to be excited about this. And this is like the whole thing of me coming into it, right? It was like, you guys were super pumped, and it's like, fucking, you know what I mean? The Canucks again, right? Just gonna be another heartbreak.
I could see as a player, though, how it would be deflating or draining to read that stuff in the newspaper.
100%. I agree with you.
Especially if it's not true, you know, if Bo's out there trying his best and he's getting dragged across the mud saying JT Miller hates him, Pettersson doesn't respect him, this kind of shit, right? That would suck. But OEL had a really good quote, and now I'm glad we got someone like this in the dressing room, and hopefully Connor Garland feels the same way. I think he does. Hearing him on Chicklets, which was a good interview. If you guys haven't checked it out, go check it out. But OEL said that when he was asked about the negativity surrounding the team and the feuds in the locker room, he said he in a sixth sense, now I'm not direct quoting, but in a sixth sense, he kind of enjoys the negativity from the media because it's attention. Because in Arizona, no one gave a fuck about him. Right? Win sure, or
that's
lose.
That's interesting.
I remember hearing that. I remember seeing that actually just before this podcast, I saw that quote. It's all about perspective, right? So
it's a market where fans are very passionate, and that could be a tough market to play in, but at least it is a market. And if you're the type of player that wants to play in a hockey market, you know, like I think JT Miller is that kind of guy. I think he wants to play in a hockey market. Obviously OEL is that kind of guy. You know, most Canadians are those kind of guys.
I think most players, right? I mean, obviously you got a couple of guys that are kind of the quiet types that don't want to be seen, don't want to be known or whatever, maybe. But I think most guys like playing where, like, people give a shit about you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, and I hope that translated to anybody on the team that's feeling overwhelmed by media attention, because it must be tough. Travis Green, I feel bad for him because he's a good coach. And we'll kind of segue into that. I believe he's a good coach, and I believe that he'll have a job soon. Canucks have this thing about hiring rookie coaches, and I hope that trend ends. But if you guys, I know I mentioned this in the group chat, but if the listeners haven't heard yet, the Canucks are openly shopping coaches. They had permission from Montreal to talk to Claude Julien, who just got hired for... Sorry?
I heard something about that. I heard that Claude didn't want to even come to interview.
No, I think they spoke. I think
I don't think he came in for an interview. Like, I don't think he wants a job. It's basically, or maybe if they did talk, whatever it was, it didn't escalate past that.
Right.
He
took a job somewhere else, I believe.
Okay, maybe that's what it is. I know something like that, he's not coming here is kind of what I heard.
Him and Jim Benning have a history, right? They won a cup together in Boston. 2011, right here in Vancouver.
That's true.
So,
is that who we want behind our bench then?
that's gotta be really tough for Travis Green to be known. And I've actually been in a position like that before, where I saw a job listing on Indeed for my position. And it wasn't fucking, yeah, it wasn't great. Like, it didn't feel good. So I totally could understand his pain, and he's still got to show up and still got to do his job, right? Because there's a chance he doesn't get fired. Like, what if the Canucks go on a tear? You know, what if they go on a 12-game win streak after this? And then the team rallies and they make the playoffs, and who knows, right? And then Travis never loses his job. But
see, you got that Canucks curse too, the everlasting hope. It's horrible. It's the worst. But
I don't know.
So let's just assume let's assume that Travis does get fired. I know we spoke about this actually last episode or the episode before, who we want to see. Do you guys, are the names the same? Are you guys still looking at the
I'd
still be looking at Babcock over anybody else.
I don't think Babcock, I'm still kind of where I'm at. I don't think Babcock's the lead front man. I think I'm more interested after Zach kind of made the point for him, and that's how I'm kind of switching. But I don't know if I think there's a lot of other guys out there that could do a good job as well. I don't think we're reliant on just him.
And what about Brad Shaw? We never talked about him.
What do you mean? Like, you think his job's on the line?
No, taking over as head coach.
Has he ever been a head coach?
I don't think so.
Didn't you just talk about bringing out rookie coaches?
You just talked about bringing the rookies.
No, I'm not saying this is my opinion. Sorry. I'm asking you guys because it was a name I saw in a poll, and we never talked about him.
Yeah. I don't think that's the time. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead, Zach.
I would lean towards no tube, but I don't know, man, because it's tricky, right? Like, we've just brought in new assistants for Travis Green, and somebody like Babcock is usually going to have assistants in tow, right? Or people that he wants to work with, likes to work with. So it's kind of a shitty situation because we've just brought in these assistant coaches too. And whoever we're bringing for a new head coach, it's like why I wouldn't fire Green and then let Benning hire the new head coach. Cause to me, that doesn't make any sense. You know, Benning is the root of this whole regime problem. And if we're going to do anything, we might as well cut the head off and start new. So to me, it's the same thing now with, you know, firing Green after we just brought in these assistants. Whoever the new next head coach comes in is probably going to need his own new assistants, or, you know, at least tinker with that a little bit. It's just, I don't know, to me, I wouldn't be looking at Green unless it was a package deal, but I wouldn't be trusting Benning to hire the next head coach either. Just like we talked about last week, I wouldn't trust Benning to make a trade for the future when he probably won't be a part of it. Like, I would rather just see Benning replaced if anything's going to get replaced as far as in the organization outside of trades, and then just start from there. You know, at that point, then he can assess Green and he can hire his own head coach who can then hire his own assistants. Like, it starts at the top to me. I think the problem, if anything, in the organization is Benning. I don't think it's Green.
See, with that, like, I do get what you're saying, and I'm not trying to like go against, like, a lot of guys will want to bring their own guys in, but I think we have, like, Bradshaw is a really good defensive coach. Like, mm-hmm. he's no slouch. He's someone that a lot of guys would like to work with. Same with having like Ian Clark. I don't think Ian Clark's going anywhere, right?
For sure.
So
yeah,
exactly, right? So what, you know, it's the same type of thing in that sense that, like, yes, you can bring in your own team, but I think these guys, like the guys we have, our assistant coaches we have now, are good enough to adapt into their system or bring a head coach that works with it. So bring Shaw and Clark and all the extra guys in on the interview process.
I think that works too. I think, yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think the only person I'm thinking of in particular is kind of like the Babcock. Like, if you're going to bring in an A-list coach like that with that kind of a pedigree, that's the only one I'm thinking of. I
can see that.
Any other coach, yeah, like I think any other coach would slot in and work with whatever, but the only reason I think is because it is Babcock is that I'm talking about. Anybody else, I totally agree.
I can agree with that. Yeah. How about you, Andrew?
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know if Babcock's the right fit. I still stand with that, honestly. But I do think we need some coaching experience behind our bench.
Mm-hmm. You still think Bruce?
Yeah, I don't know if he's even. I thought I heard he took a job somewhere else as well.
Really?
Or maybe he just got someone.
I thought it might have been with Team Canada.
That's
but
it. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's it.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
For the Olympics, then.
Right. Yeah. So that's a temporary job, I guess. But
yeah.
I'm still a Bruce voter.
Especially with this gold.
I'd love his press conferences. I would love that with Bruce Boudreau. I promise you that.
I'm with Zach. I wouldn't like to see Green go before Benning. I don't think. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that I don't think Benning's done a good job in the offseason. I just think, like Zach said, it's got to start from the top. And if the Aquilinis aren't going to sell the team, right, then they then it goes to the next person, because you can't just sit in a stalemate.
I think you said it right, though. It does start with Aquilini's, and we need new fucking owners.
They're league-wide. Like, they're known to be, like, meddlers, right?
Dickheads. But that's for...
Be straight up, dickheads.
Right. So, and that also... The Canucks front office is one of the thinnest in the NHL. You know, like, we don't have a hockey operations. We don't have... certain managers that most teams have.
I didn't realize that.
Right. Really? Yeah. So our front office is very thin. And again, that stems from the Aquilinis and who they're willing to hire.
I heard rumors of Lyndon having problems with Aquilinis and like trying to go a certain way. And he wanted to do a full rebuild, and they didn't want him to do a full rebuild because they were going to lose money, right?
It'd take too long.
Well, that's the thing is that, like, I don't think, despite, you know, what they kind of project out, I don't think that they're these deep pocket owners like some of the other teams, right? Like, it's not like MLSC with the Leafs, or it's not like, you know, the Rangers or any of these other big name teams that have the huge budgets. I don't think that we have the deep pockets to do that. Like, that's the same reason why that's probably why the trigger hasn't been pulled on Benning or Green at this point already, because they don't want to be paying their contracts to not do anything. Right. So,
yeah,
I mean, it is frustrating.
We do like paying out people's contracts that don't play for us.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. They're probably just fighting off this Luongo recapture penalty. But yeah, I don't know. It's frustrating to me. I mean, I think that the Aquilinis probably do take some blame in it because, again, they're very hands-on owners. And, you know, why do you hire people to run your team if you don't trust them? Like, that's, you know, that should be the job fully in the hands of the general manager or the president, whatever title you want to put on the person. Like, that should be in their hands. It's frustrating to kind of hear about all the time is how involved they are.
And that's kind of the bottom line, isn't it? How can you have somebody running your team that you don't trust? So if Benning is not capable of hiring, firing, trading, right? If he doesn't have that trust from ownership, then why is he in the position he's in?
Yeah.
Or why do ownership have that team? But you know, it's almost like that in every business that's not working, eh? Everyone thinks, oh, well, the owner should sell or we need new owners. And
well, we've had the same owners for a long time.
I think they're passionate. Like, I don't think anybody discounts their passion. That's not the issue. It's just, yeah, I don't know. If you want to run the team, then name yourself the general manager and then carry on like that. You know, like, you don't hire somebody.
Imagine if that happened.
You know what? If that happened, I would honestly.
Don't say that.
I think it'd be that greatest.
Don't even. You're saying this just to piss people off.
No, you know what?
There's not gonna be one person that agrees with you, Zach.
You know why I like it is not. No, it's gonna be horrible for the team. It's horrible. But why I like it is because it's at least it's honest. Like, they're saying, you know what? You guys are right. Like, we don't want anybody else doing this. This is our team, our money. We're doing it our way. And then they're going to go to 32nd in the league, then they'll sell the team. So I don't know
why. That's you're right. If they have a GM and they can play, they want to play GM, but if they play GM behind someone else, they can never take the blame. Yeah, no, they can't take the blame. So for them, it's the problem. But for them, that's what they probably. And this is all assumption, guys. I have no fucking idea. But what I'm gonna say is that they're hiding behind, you know, Benning, and you know, everyone's fired Benning, everyone's fired Green, and then they can move that along. But the Aquilini just hide. But it's like a fire blank. If they go in to be the GM, everyone's gonna know that they're idiots.
Yeah, and at least it'll be honest. Everybody will know what has been rumored for the last decade. It's like, oh yeah, we knew it. Those guys were really wanted to do it. Let them have a go at it. If they're not going to trust the guy who they put in charge of it, then let them do it and sink us to the bottom of the league and sell the team.
So this is episode. This is episode 12. Episode 13, we'll have about 2 listeners after that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Well, I appreciate you too.
It's gonna be me and Andrew, you know that, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Actually, loses is the GM,
but no, to be fair, he has a point. If we make him GM, then they have no one else to hide behind, and we can just blame them, and then they have no one to put that blame off of, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, it'll never happen. I just think that if they're not wanting to, you know, if they aren't going to put, if they aren't putting the trust in the people they hire, then just name yourself general manager, do it yourself. And then, yeah, it's just that they've got to get out of it. If those rumors are true and they've been around for long enough and you've heard them loud enough that there's obviously some truth to them, that's no way to run a team if you aren't even trusting the people who you put in charge of it.
Right. No, I agree. It starts in the top, and hopefully we'll see some changes soon. They're obviously not rushing, right? They're not rushing into it. They're not going to rush the firing of Jim Benning and or Travis Green. All we can do is hope that the right decisions are made.
Yeah, or hope that the team shooting percentage comes up. We start winning a few of these games. It gets so frustrating watching one goal losses when you'll see 3 or 4 posts in a game, right? Like, it's... yeah, it's something's got to change, but hopefully it's just bounces. Then, you know, then everything's in the rear view and we're smooth sailing.
Yeah, I agree. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot. Here's to smooth sailing over the next few games. What do we got next week? You said we have Ottawa on Wednesday.
Yeah. Then we have Pittsburgh at home.
Vancouver. There it is. Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah. Then we come back home. Pittsburgh Kings on the 6th, and then we're back at it that night. That's a 7 p.m. game, so we'll be talking as the game's on, I imagine.
Yeah, we only actually have, we really only have two games between now and then.
Right on. Light schedule.
Releases before the Ottawa game on Wednesday.
Time,
right?
Time to drop Besser now. Two games this week.
Yeah, do it up.
Fuck you.
Do it up.
Yeah, you don't want him.
Why do I want him?
All right. Okay, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks, listeners, for tuning in. That was a great episode. Tune in next week. Same time, same place. We'll have this up on YouTube for those of you who wants to see Zach's beautiful body in the reel.
And nobody wants to see that.
We'll see.
If we get more views on this podcast than last podcast, next podcast I'm doing the whole thing topless.
Oh, God. I'll have to make sure the YouTube video is up before the actual audio this time. All right, guys, hit us up on Facebook or Instagram at Puck and Flamingo. Oh, Steve's got something to say. Which
No, you're good. Just okay. Go ahead. Yeah, finish it off.
Yeah, that's enough of that. at Puck and Flamingo, and hit us up on your favorite podcast listening service. If YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, we're everywhere. Smash that follow button and catch us every week. Cheers.
See ya.
Peace. Hello?
Yeah, there you are.
Is he shirtless?
Yeah, with the heart.
What the fuck?
There we go. I can't do this. I have to move. It looks like I'm actually on some gay porn set.
It does. It actually does.
I can't have mustache. A neon light. I know. I'm putting a shirt back on.
Neon heart in the background. Bartel, you're sporting Manchester United.
Yes, sir. I got it from the stadium.
Oh, did you?
In Manchester, yeah.
Nice. Do you like my accent? I practiced that for 2 4 years.
Did you? Fucking terrible. That's your English accent or your fucking Irish? Both of them are dog shit.
Bartel, that toque and that mustache make it look like you're fucking, you have a restraining order to the closest elementary school.
Fucking.
There we go. Nobody is watching this for our looks. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry.
Well, I don't give a fuck, man. I don't give a shit. I'm rocking the shit out of this. Yeah. I got one more day to do it. So.
Oh, that's true. Are you going to shave? You boys going to shave it after?
Oh, 100%.
I'm going to keep it.
Dude, this is greasy as fuck.
I'm going to keep it.
Not something that, like, I'm literally purposely not talking to women so I don't have to fucking see them. Because if I see them, they're never going to come back.
I'm going to keep it until my wife really starts to lose it, too.
We'll just get you a t-shirt that says, like, free mustache rides, and you can walk down Granville at, like, 3 a.m.
No,
because... a pair of aviators, you're good.
No, man, that's fucking... Some dude's 100% going to kiss.
100%. It would not attract a single... 100%. It wouldn't attract a single girl downtown.
100%.
Dudes on dudes on dudes.
Yeah, man.
Woo! All right.
Oh, shit. We turned out Davey. We're fucked.
You said Granville. You said Granville.